Yeah.
If I can't find, I got it here, but I always can't go through.
You know why it's mine?
Yes.
Let's call meeting order.
Roll call, Eric Morimoto.
Here.
Abigail Wilgreen. Ross Polerke.
Here.
David Roback. Robert Wagner. Yvonne Barnes.
Here.
Jeff Thorson.
Here.
Donald Copsel. John Hammerand.
Here.
Michael Rain.
Here.
Jim Kearns.
Here.
And Barry Pierce.
Present.
City of Woodstock. That's it.
All right, item 2 minutes approval, is there a motion to approve the minutes?
I approve.
Second? Any second for this?
I'll second.
Okay. All those in favor, aye?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, public comments. Have anybody signed up for public comments? Okay. Action items, resolution authorizing intergovernmental agreement between the county and McHenry and Crystal Lake Park District for the Stearns Fence renovation phase two project and an emergency appropriation to the planning and development fiscal year 2018 wetland restoration program budget. Is there a motion?
I'll make.
Okay, second? Jeff Thorson? Okay, is there any discussion on this? Do you want to talk about it at all?
Absolutely, I have to, okay.
I was gonna say.
In your packet, there's going to be a half a dozen pages of what has come to us through our wetland restoration fund. As you know, the wetland restoration fund is a product of our stormwater management ordinance that we have the opportunity for projects that cannot provide mitigation for wetlands on-site to pay into our wetland restoration fund. We have one in the Kishwaukee and one in the Fox. So we met our threshold of $75,000 or more within the wetland restoration fund. So we've had a call for projects and that was back last fall. So Crystal Lake Park District has come in and we have vetted that through our technical advisory committee. So the project, the call for projects is for the Stearns, or the project for the Crystal Lake Park District was the Stearns Fen phase two project. And they are proposing in your packet, there is a detail sheet of that on page, packet page number 10. So their project is to restore an existing fen out there at the Stearns Fen, which is at the corner of Hillside and Smith. I think Smith, is that right? No. No. What's the north-south one?
It's east of Walkup.
Walkup, sorry. Walkup. Okay. So it is an existing Illinois Nature Preserve area, and as the process went, the TAC, our Technical Advisory Committee, had a subcommittee composed of a half a dozen members. So they went through and scored the project. They made a recommendation to our Technical Advisory Committee, so the Technical Advisory Committee discussed and recommended the purchase or the project to receive funding of $118,810. And so the recommendation now comes to you to review the project to verify if this is what you in fact agree that the Wetland Restoration Fund would be a valid project for this funding. And then the next steps will go to the PED, it'll go to the Finance Committee, and then it'll ultimately come to the board through the Committee of the Whole for final ratification. The contract in here is a draft, but I wanted to put at least something in there for you. And Crystal Lake Park District will look at it and review it and make sure that everything is in their best interest also, so there will be some back and forth there. But again, it does show what the parameters are, what the requirements are. There is a 5-year mitigation period at the end of construction or the end of their restoration period. So there are requirements for long-term management of this property. So it's not that we are giving the money to them and then, you know, they do the work and they walk away. It would be long-term managed, so more kind of a better opportunity for a project to be a sustainable project for that dollar amount that we are proposing.
We, in our funds, we pay for the initial funds. I'll ask my first question. We are not responsible for coming up later on if they have any invasive species over the 5 years to get their final certification. Who's responsible for that?
Correct. So our grant agreement would be for the $118,810 as it stands right now in your packet. We would hold back 10% until the final management year, which is, it could be 3 years, it could be 4 years, it could be 5 years. Typically it's a 5 year. If at that point afterward, you know, we would sign off on it at that final portion. If anything happens after that, that would be on them to manage as they see fit.
Jeff?
Do you think the representative from the Crystal Lake Park District may have an opportunity to explain to us from their perspective what the project's all about?
Absolutely.
Please do. If you want to come forward?
Come on down.
Well, that's why we invited them, so thank you.
Hi, my name is Ian Barber. I'm the Director of Planning and Development for the Crystal Lake Park District. I'm sure most of you are familiar with Stearns Bend. We've owned it for a number of years now, and it became a Illinois Nature Preserve about 20 years ago, 20 to 25 years ago. So we are tasked with taking care of it, and more recently we've really been trying to restore the hydrology of the fen itself, I am not the technical person. This is Dave Kraft from Payne Associates, who's the technical person, but I can give you kind of a general idea. It's basically dried out because the water that's supposed to be kind of over a large area has become very channelized. And so we started this project about a year and a half ago and did phase one of it, which was actually a much smaller phase than the phase two that we're talking about today. But basically worked on some of the channels there to kind of spread out the water. That's my very layman way of describing, but I think it's pretty accurate. So this is the second phase of it, and it's a larger phase. It's a more aggressive phase. We're really, really excited about it. We're really committed to restoring the fen. It's extremely unique. Very, very fortunate to have it in our area and in our care. We've worked very closely with the Illinois Nature Preserve all these years, so we get great technical guidance from them, as well as manpower help from them and manpower help from volunteers. And, goes this way.
Sure.
And you're proposing to restore about 7 acres, just over 7 acres,
yeah.
And per our agreement and per our documents, our Wetland Restoration Fund, they get a ratio of credits per what they're doing out there. So it comes out to be about 2.5 acres of restoration based on our credit.
How long has it been since that property or that land has been in its natural state, in the fence, you know, in the restored? I mean, I know it's not restored now, that's why we have to be restored, but before that, how long has it been drained, I guess?
I'd say it's been progressively drying out, since the time the Park District owned it, but I'm sure many years before that when it was in private ownership. I don't think the previous owners really did anything. They didn't understand what they had, so I don't think they didn't really take care of it.
So it wasn't really because of any tile system introduced by it?
No.
In the Stearns Fen, there's really three little finger channels that turn into a main channel that have just eroded through it and dropped that down. So the first phase we did last year was to bring the water elevation back up, and then, you know, previous to that, both the Park District and the Nature Preserve had been doing a lot of invasive woody material clearing, so buckthorn, honeysuckle, those kind of things. From the Nature Preserve's perspective, the plant community has responded pretty much immediately to that, and just with the native seed bed that's there. I think, I don't want to speak for the Nature Preserve, but they've been very excited about what's responded to just getting that water elevation back up where it is. So this phase looks at the rest of the channel areas on site. What we do is come in and put rock checks across the channels to raise the elevation back up where it would have been historically. Over time, those channels will fill back in with sediment as things come down. It would just be too costly to backfill the entire channel there. So a lot of that work that was done last year, again, was done with some funding from both the Nature Preserve and the Park District, and then some volunteer hours from DNR and some other groups too. So that'll be part of the work here, and part of the match for this project, again, will be DNR staff will provide some oversight and work on this. We'll clear the remaining chunk of, you know, buckthorn and honeysuckle out there, and again, the anticipation is that the rest of the Fennet will respond pretty quickly, and then just again restore the rest of those channels to make sure the water's getting back up to where it would have been naturally, and that's been pretty responsive. And then so that 5-year period we were talking about with the monitoring, that's all planned out. Again, this site's been pretty heavily managed with the nature preserve. It's one of their, you know, I think, sort of premier sites that they look at. So it's been pretty well supported for quite a number of years now as far as these efforts, you know, trying to build off of each other.
Along Hillside there, looking at the photographs and some of the homes that are right there, mm-hmm. is there any potential, and I don't know exactly the land there, is there any potential that our raising the water level would cause any potential flooding?
No. The first phase, and we've permitted that, so essentially the SMO, it'll still require a stormwater management permit that would be issued by the city of Crystal Lake. And so, you know, the first phase we did that, we go through, and that's part of the plan here is to document that and show that it won't. Really, the Fennet is down in a bowl, so there's not a lot of chance that it would, but that'll all be documented as part of the permit process.
All right. Anything else? All right.
Oh. Just a general comment. I appreciate the application, and I'm glad that the funds in this program are going towards such a high-quality resource, and that we think we have a good assurance that the stewardship is there with the park district. It's not just any development or landowner that's proposing this, and it's building upon a good project. So thank you for taking advantage of the program.
Thanks for having the
program. Well, thank you for explaining things to us here this morning from your input. If since we're funds, we have to do a call on the book. So if let's proceed with roll call.
Eric.
All those in favor, aye. Or not aye, but by name.
Eric Morimoto.
Yes.
Ross Polarki.
Yes.
Abigail Wilgreen.
Yes.
Barry Pierce.
Should I abstain or should I?
He's just a representative.
Stand in today, so yes.
Yvonne Barnes?
Yes.
Jeff Thorson?
Yes.
John Hammerand?
Yes.
Michael Rain?
Yes.
Jim Kearns?
And I'll vote yes. Congratulations. All right, discussion. Certified Community 2017 Annual Report.
All right. On the back page, packet page 16 of your packet, you'll see that as part of our stormwater management ordinance, we require that all of our certified communities give us an annual report as to how many permits they issued for the previous year. So you'll see the list of each of our certified communities there with the numbers. So some of them you'll see they're blank, so those are our non-certified communities, or those are our cross-county communities that don't have to provide that information or are not required to. They may if they choose so. But the non-certifieds are what we would issue in-house. I haven't gone through those to see, but it's minimal. You'll see that overall we had 135 in the county in our certified communities. And again, those are just stormwater management ordinance permits. So it's not so something that maybe not have hit the thresholds of the permit requirements. So a building permit may or may not hit this, so keep that in mind. So there's not 5,000 square feet of disturbance, if there's not impacts to wetlands or impacts to floodplain or some of the other thresholds, they would not show up here, so keep that in mind. But as for stormwater management permits, we had 135 in our certified communities last year.
Quite a Woodstock at 45.
You know what? I'm going to guess that most of them are over here in the Sonatas, but I have a list of every single one of them if you're interested in
that. Yeah, can you give me a
little bit? Yeah, I can do that.
Yes.
Well, maybe you can expound on that.
Quite a bit
of
building going on
in
Apple Creek and Sonatas.
Okay.
Anything else on this? Any other questions? Okay. Item 5B, future SMO revisions. I know I talked to Joanna the other day. You want to update us on some of the things that you had told me?
Sure. As part of what you have tasked our technical advisory committee and staff to start looking at is a couple items that our technical advisory committee will be discussing today and in the future. So right now we are looking at agricultural developments with relation to ordinance provisions and requirements for runoff and detention, and also for downstream capacity and detention requirements when we have a subdivision or a development into, let's say, a less urban or a less built-up area, and how that affects those downstream neighbors. So those are the couple items we are tasked with at this point by the commission. But again, we are forming the agricultural subcommittee. So right now, Dan Volkers and Mike Von Bergen have agreed, and so Dan is also working on getting some other people involved in the subcommittee. And so that will help try to bring in some additional recommendations and some insight as to what they're dealing with and what you know, they see on a regular basis with their land, so that can help us pull some potential ordinance amendments into the document.
I spoke to one of them this morning, and he did, you know, for some input, and he did say they're planning on putting a committee of five together is what they're shooting for, to help us to put their input with us, and they meet with us a couple times. So that was my side of it.
Okay.
Anybody, you all got your books? Did all of you get them?
They're on their heads.
Okay. Read those a little bit, so as we get further into this, you know, familiarize yourself with them, with everything, so that when things become obvious to you or someone talks to you about it, knowing that we're working on this, we want to make sure that we get as much input as possible to do it, hopefully once. That's so.
Mr. Chairman,
can
I make a comment? Any chance?
You know, if you weren't late to the meeting and you had public comment, but I'll let you talk.
Okay. Because it's directly, I'm sorry, the traffic this morning was horrible. So I think I know what you, except you, in District 6. And it goes right to what Joanna was saying about you're looking at agricultural runoff and an impact on the neighbors. But this, the last 2 months, I dealt with a couple of other issues, and what's totally apparent is we are, and I mean that collectively and with the municipalities, the issue is that we have the same standards for very small lots that we have for very large lots, and that may not be working for us, especially in the residential areas. So two things occur to me. I'm not sure how the municipalities address the small lots. They can change the ordinance to make it stronger than ours. And maybe Joanna knows, but I don't know that the municipalities really contribute a whole lot at this point because nobody asks them. But secondly, it's really clear since from the county's perspective, we deal with less than 1 acre lots to 200 acre lots. And that the idea of looking at the impervious surface at a small acre lot where we don't look at what exists, we're only looking at the new impervious, maybe we need to start looking at the what exists so that the total impact on that of the stormwater runoff now is really honestly calculated, because the volume increases if you do anything to it, but the law says, the ordinance says we don't have to count what exists, but that's becoming a big serious problem. And I think that's what happened in Crystal Lake after talking to somebody. They were looking at that and hadn't counted the previous, what existed, and then the neighbors got flooded out. So I would respectfully ask that you look at that issue as a broader issue based on the size of lots. And I did talk to Ed Westcarna the other day on a different subject, and we got into this, and he had some good ideas that he'll bring to TAC too about making a matrix. So we look at size. And this spring, if we have the amount of water or rain water that's predicted, this would be a good time to look at and every community assess what their issues are. And I think that we do need to engage the communities to the planning districts, their planners, and whoever implements the stormwater ordinance. So, thank you, and I appreciate your input.
Thank you.
All right.
Anything else you
need? I just want to mention also that Kane County is going through a full-scale modification of their ordinance, so we're kind of trying to understand what they're going to be doing, because their county is very similar to ours. So I know that we do have a few cross-county communities down in the southern portion. We've got Kane and Algonquin, or Algonquin and Huntley, which follow Kane County's ordinance. So those will be important that we look at what they're proposing within their stormwater ordinance, so that we can not ensure that we're the same, but ensure that we're not too different. How about that? I know that there were some concerns down south near you, Jim, with respect to those communities and how, if we do change something in our ordinance, it may not affect them because they're still following a different ordinance. So we have to be mindful of that in that respect. But just in general, this will be, you know, not necessarily a short-term project, but it'll be more, you know, it'll take a few months to get through this process and get some recommendations back to you. So, well, we are working on it with the tech, and hopefully we can come up with some good language for you to review and potentially look for modifications to the ordinance.
Okay, great. Okay, let's move down to the miscellaneous items, the water resource staff update, any?
Sure. We did hire a new watershed engineer, water resources engineer, Stoyan Kolev. He has about 4 years of experience. He came from Manhart Consulting, so he does have his EIT, and he's going to be looking to pass his PE in the next year, which is good. So he's hit the ground running for us, so that's very good, helping us keep our permit times down. So if you do see a new face in the office, that's who that is. He's taller than me, a little wider than me, darker, not like me, but if you see him around, please welcome him.
How do you spell that first name?
S-T-O-Y-A-N. So he's Bulgarian, or his family's Bulgarian.
Okay.
He did grow up here.
Obviously.
All right. Member comments?
I had one question. I know at the end of last year, roughly, there was an update from the USGS, or numerous groups that were working on the chlorides issue.
Mm-hmm.
I think they gave an update on their draft report over at MCC at one of those conferences. Is there any updates to that, I guess, for the commission with regards to our runoff line reduction topic?
And we did talk about that a little bit in January, I think, but I know you weren't here. Yes, yes. But we did have our water forum, which was in the first part of November last year, so Scott headed that up, and we had some guest speakers. Amy Gahala from the USGS did present her final paper and gave a little presentation on that. The short answer is yes, chlorides are increasing. They have been increasing. You know, we haven't seen the end of it. It hasn't peaked. It hasn't. It's still going up, just based on, you know, usage and sampling. So at that point, I know that was something that we had talked about last time here, was do we still want to move forward with the runoff reduction and infiltration provisions in the ordinance. There was no, you know, big push to do that. If I'm speaking out of turn, let me know. But just for the sheer fact of the concerns at this point of, you know, with the water and what we're putting in already, how would it affect the
we've closed. At least that decision point
yes.
At this time.
Yes.
Okay.
The next steps for us, we do have a long-term contract with the USGS to do water quality or water monitoring for elevations, groundwater surface elevations. But we are working on getting a contract together for additional sampling for water quality at this point. So to continue our sampling of that side of things.
I was going to say, just like Joanna finished, which is that while they're monitoring water quality, our quantity ongoing, real time, we only have a few points in time for the water quality data. We're working on a proposal, one to gather comprehensive water quality data approximately every 10 years, we're thinking. And Scott Kuykendall, who left, is working on a proposal, working with some of the watershed groups and environmental groups to do routine chloride sampling with a volunteer network similar to what some of the watersheds groups do for stream sampling, production effort to do chloride sampling through existing potable water wells, perhaps, or other sources. And we'll be bringing forth our proposals on both of those items to maintain and track what's happening with chloride, because it is a critical issue in the county.
We also do have a robust database, because the health department also does sampling when they put in new wells. So they also test for numerous items, coliform, chlorides, nitrates, and a couple other things. So we do also have that information that we can compile and use to our advantage.
And all the local water utilities also do a lot of sampling routinely, just by requirement. But if there's any opportunity to maybe partner with the local towns, I'm sure a lot of us that are doing those testings already would be happy to share the data too.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other member comments on future topics? Okay. Then motion to adjourn.
I'll do that.
Second. All those in favor?
Who seconded?
I did.
Oh. Okay. Got it.
Do you want the information mailed to you, or do you want it in your inbox?
Good. How are you, John?